You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Did you guys get a chance to listen to Frederick's voicemail?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
He's so cute.
Love Frederick.
Isn't he great?
Yeah, he's awesome.
I've never heard of the East End of neither, so.
Well, we brought it up on the people. We brought it up because it was like one of the top five TV shows listed for that year. And I think I made a comment that I'm like, well, maybe, you know, maybe Frederick knows what that's about, you know, because it sounded like a UK thing. Obviously not. So I don't know who's watching it, but somebody is.
A lot of British people are watching it. And, you know, they show it over here, too, so Americans watch it.
Okay.
For the longest time, it was on PBS, so I think maybe BBC America might have it now.
But, so what we're going to do is we're going to insert Frederick's voicemail into the podcast. But I want to just comment on some of the stuff that he brought up from the 1985 Time Capsule episode.
Hey, Dave. Regarding your Time Capsule episode 1985, I've never seen EastEnders either. I just want to say that. And, you mentioned Commando, and that was actually one of the movies that I really saw a lot of times in the 80s. I just love Schwarzenegger in that role. He is so over-the-top, macho dude, and a one-man army. And you remember that scene where, there's this guy that's called Sally, and Schwarzenegger is holding him in one arm over a cliff, and he says to Sally, "Remember how I promised to kill you last?" "Yes, you did. You did, Matrix." "I lied." And then he lets go of Sally. But it's so over the top, that movie. I really enjoy it. Yeah, stupid, but enjoyable. Amazing Stories was another, I don't know, is it an anthology or something, a series. I really love those stories. That was the first one with Spielberg, where there was this cartoonist who drew the wheels under the plane that had its wheels destroyed in the war. Oh, I gotta hurry up. Well, I also love Robotech, and Min Mei from Robotech was, I had a big crush on her. Well, my time's up. Have a nice time, guys. Be excellent to each other. Hi.
Obviously, we didn't spend enough time on Commando for Frederick's likes.
I don't remember talking about that.
I don't remember bringing it up. I think it might have been mentioned briefly as one of those top movies, but he really seems to like Commando. But and I love that he loves Arnold Schwarzenegger so much. And I think we should do a show about Schwarzenegger movies, maybe of the 80s. But I think that's when he really was. That was his era. Definitely his decade. So I think it could be a good icon series, and I'm sure he would love to hear that one.
Yeah, and I mean, we did the Moranis, Rick Moranis episode because of Frederick, and yeah, that was a lot of fun. So it makes sense to do Schwarzenegger.
With Conan the Barbarian, 80s. I don't remember.
Conan was, I believe,
80 or 81, early 80s.
Yeah, but maybe it was late 70s.
Conan the Barbarian. What do we got? 1982.
Oh, 82. Just in it.
All right. So something else that he brought up was he brought up that he liked Amazing Stories, and what I loved, I loved that he brought up there was an episode that he mentioned about where there was like a plane where they were like, I think it was World War II or something, and the wheel had kind of gotten destroyed in the war. And I remember the sequence where there was a guy on board that drew pictures, and whatever he drew kind of came to life, and he ended up drawing another wheel for the plane in order for it to land. So I remember the episode that he was bringing up. I was like, "That's yes, I remember that." So I was like, thank you, Frederick.
That's awesome.
And then he also brings up Robotech.
Yeah, that's a great one. I love that cartoon.
I never really got into it.
Yeah, that one and Silverhawks.
Silverhawks. Yeah.
So.
And then we started messaging back and forth, and Scott, you even brought up that Frederick said, be excellent to each other.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was very cool.
You know, for a phrase that I just kind of thought we were just going to bring up, like, you know, a few times until I came up with another catchphrase, it is sticking around. Because that's what everybody is, like, picking up on that.
Yeah, my friend on Twitter... And in real life, Xanadu Dead, he listens to the podcast, and every so often he'll throw that into one of his tweets.
Perfect.
He never did it. He never did it before.
Did I ever tell you guys about the Santa Claus tree topper? No.
No.
Well, it kind of relates to this. Okay. And I'm going to pull a tangent here. But when I was getting out of the Navy, it was around 97, so it's still retro here. So I got out of the Navy, and it was just near the end of the year, so it was coming up to December, or it was in December. And I moved to Chicago and moved in with my, the woman that I was having a long-distance relationship with, who became my wife, Patty. I was big on the whole idea of, you know, well, I'm out of the Navy. I want to have a Christmas tree. I want to have, like, all the Christmas stuff, you know, that, you know, that you normally don't get that, you know, when you're traveling a lot, you know, like in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know, you got to really do this up. So we got, you know, a pretty good sized artificial tree, or I think that year we may have had a live tree. But anyway, you know, we went and we got, you know, all the decorations in the tree and all that stuff. And she says, well, you know what? The tree topper is pretty important to me. I got to make sure that we have the perfect angel for the tree topper. And I was like, okay, great. So, you know, we go, we're shopping and we're shopping and we're shopping, and we just never come across what she's considered as, you know, to have the perfect angel tree topper. So it was getting pretty close to Christmas, and I was like, you know what? I just need something for the top of this tree. So there was this Montgomery Ward that was kitty corner from our apartment. So I went over to Montgomery Ward one day just to take a look, and there was this plastic Santa Claus that, you know, you plug in, and it's got a lantern that he moves up his arm back and forth, up and down, and he moves his face left and right. The lantern lights up with like a little light bulb in it. And so I bought this as the substitute tree topper for, you know, until we got this perfect angel tree topper. Last year was the 20th anniversary of us still having that Santa Claus on our tree. And if that thing ever broke, I'm going to be so devastated. Because it has now become, it's the one thing that's like stuck around now. You know, because, and even though it, like, it makes whirring noises when we have it on, because you can hear his little limb, and you're like, oh, this is the year. It's not going to work after this. You know, I've WD-40'd it. I've tried everything that I possibly could, but it's still hanging around. It still works. I still put it in the original box. The company, I looked them up online. They don't even exist anymore that made this Santa Claus.
Wow.
So I'm like, you know, oh my God, this is it. This is, you know, this is the thing that's going to stick around. And the reason why I'm thinking about that is because this whole be excellent to each other has been, you know, what I figured was going to be a phrase that I was just going to throw out there until I found another closing thing. And now it's becoming a bigger thing than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to relate those two stories.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
It sounds hideous, by the way. But I thought that out. Thought you were gonna tell me that Patty absolutely refused to put it on a tree.
No, no, no. She's completely content with it because, you know, I build it as this is temporary. This is temporary till we find that angel that you're looking for. And then somewhere over the course of the years, we stop looking.
Nice.
So
that's a nice story.
So good old Santa Claus. Like I said, I'm hoping it's one of those things that, like, one of my kids will end up with, and it'll just continue working year after year. Mm-hmm. Even though it sounds, it's starting to sound bad. And you're right, he's not very pretty, but he's now becoming a tradition in the house for at least now 21 years. You know, coming on 21 years anyway. Yeah, I just couldn't imagine a tree without him now.
Aw, that's neat.
All right, so we talked about the voicemail. This is the part where we normally go right into the show.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to insert the bumper.
This is 70-something podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke.
This is the part where I say, this is Bonsai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I've got Rose.
Hey.
And Scott.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back.
And the topic for tonight is we're going to be talking about the 1970s movies of Walt Disney. I didn't come up with like a top three for myself. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even run this by you guys as how we would go about the topic. So I don't know if you're down for this or not, but I have the list up of the movies that were released by Walt Disney in the 1970s per year. What I almost thought is that we can mention all the ones that came out in each year. And then if there's any that we want to like expand on, we can talk about them.
Okay.
Mm. Okay.
Does that work, or would you rather go to the top three format?
Well, how do you want to? Do you want to like read the ones that came out in 1970, and then we'll discuss something if pops out?
Yeah,
And then 71, and then 72, and so forth. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I get it.
Yeah, if there's something
fine.
Yeah, if there's something in those that we want to talk about, of course. If there's not, then we just move on to the next year. In the year 1970. King of the Grizzlies was released. The Boatniks, The Wild Country, The Aristocats. So that was the movies released by them. Rose, are any of those coming up as movies that were big for you?
No.
No, I would have picked you for Aristocats.
You know, and I had a brief encounter with the Aristocats. It's actually one of my daughter's favorite retro movies as a kid. Remember, because we used to go and rent the movies, and Disney was like burst on the scene with their clamshell doings and selling their movies for $90 a pop. So a lot of times when we would rent these, I would try and get something that I think that they would like, and it would always be like the animated versions. I know Wonderful World of Disney had quite a few features that they made in the years that they were on TV, but I don't remember King of the Grizzlies, and what was the other one?
Boatniks.
The Boatniks. Yeah, it kind of sounds familiar, but I don't think I saw it. So, but I'd have to look at it, because it's too reminiscent of, what do you call? Oh, yeah. It kind of looks like a movie version of Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, actually,
oh boy.
All four of these really don't do much for me.
Yeah, I don't. So, yeah, we can. I don't have anything to contribute, honestly. So.
Yeah. Scott, are any of those in your, or are they on your radar?
You know, I always recall the Aristocats as having this, it's been forever since I've seen this one. But I thought there was something like, there was some kind of a groovy early 60s feel to it. Like they had this a lot, you know, anytime Disney always has music in their cartoons or movies or whatever. But I just remember having, there was some kind of scene where it was like like where they're all wearing black and, or, you know, like the old poem places or whatever. I don't even know what it's called.
Like a beatnik kind of a thing.
Yeah. It really had, yeah, it had like one of those scenes in it, but that's always one that sticks out, that just that little scene. Of them being like that. But other than that, these other ones, the Boatnik sounds vaguely familiar. And when I looked at the cover art, I remember the lead actor in that, what's his name? Morse, something Morse. I just had it in front of me.
Oh, Robert? Richard?
Is it Robert? Richard?
Robert Morse?
Robert Morse, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Stephanie Powers,
yeah, Phil Silvers. There's a lot, you know, there's a few good names in there. I do believe I saw it a couple times when I was younger. You know, the 70s, a lot of these I remember getting either on video or something in the late 70s, maybe on VHS, and maybe the early 80s. It's probably when I saw most of these, even though I remember them very fondly. You know, so anyway, and this topic was my idea. So I'm hoping that I can bring enough to the table.
Yeah, no, I honestly didn't think that we would have a lot to contribute until we got to the latter part of the decade.
Yeah.
But I wanted to give, you know, at least, you know, a mention of the other ones that came out, you know, even though they may not have been on our collective radar, you know, right. still worthy of mentioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Wild Country seems to look, it looks pretty interesting. It's actually got both of the Howard brothers in it. Ron and Clint. Yeah.
Wow.
So, you mean Opie Taylor?
Honey, Opie Taylor Cunningham, yeah.
Opie Taylor Cunningham, nice. You know, I'll say I loved the narrated movies and TV episodes that Disney used to do. I think a lot of them came out in the 60s originally, but yeah. I loved the nature sequences that were narrated, or kind of historical things that were narrated by somebody. I always loved that. You'd see that on like The Wonderful World of Disney. I think that was usually like Sunday nights.
Yep.
If I recall. Yeah. And I just always waiting for that intro of The Wonderful World of Disney when I was a kid. I remember that. So anyway, I thought Wild Country was something like that, but it looks like it's actually a drama type movie. So
yeah.
Anyway, so do you want to move on to 71?
All right. So 1971, The Barefoot Executive, Scandalous John, The Million Dollar Duck, and Bedknobs and Broomsticks. And Bedknobs and Broomsticks is really the only one that really pops out at me, but I'm having trouble remembering any of the details of it. And I might be confusing it with like Mary Poppins or something. But really the only concept that I have from it is that they have some sort of pole that's on a bed that if they put the knob on the magic knob or whatever it is on the bed, then they can get transported to some places. Maybe yeah. I'm remembering that wrong, but that's really all I got.
So that's pretty accurate.
Wow, look at that. Jesus. How'd that happen?
It was very witch oriented.
Okay.
Now I remember this movie pretty well because my brother watched this movie over and over and over again, and I was always in the house when he was watching it. And you know, I'd sit down quite a few times and watch it with him. So it kind of confused me though, because I was trying to figure out how they ended up in this cartoon world where there's a soccer game between all these animals. I can't remember how they got there, but I remember how they ended up leaving because they got the medallion that was around the king, the Lion King. He had a medallion on his shirt or on his around his neck that had a phrase that was like a witch. What do you call it? Like a spell, right? And that was their way to get back out to the real world or something like that. But the part that I think I found most enjoyable and that my brother used to love to watch was they end up in this castle. You know, they're in England or something along – I think it's somewhere in England. And they're in this castle, and it's right around the time during World War II. And this area, it can be England. It's got to be on the mainland, like France or something, because there's these Nazi Germans that are like approaching this castle. And so, what was her name? Hold on. What's her name? Angela Lansbury. Yes, thank you. I always want to say Agatha Christie. Because, you know, it's the whole Murder, She Wrote thing. Anyway, Angela Lansbury, she's like the main witch person. And David Tomlinson is like a warlock or something. Because he talks like a witch, too. He has spells and whatnot. Anyway, she makes... There's this castle that has all these suits of armor, like a full, just this huge room of hundreds of suits of armor. And they do this, she says this spell and brings all these suits of armor to life to fight these Nazi Germans that are coming onto the property. And it's really, wow. it's really a very interesting scene and fun. And you're like, yeah, get the Nazis, you know? because they're the bad guys, you know. It's just and just seeing all the knights in armor come to life, and there's like, I remember one specific scene where, or one little clip, you know, where like the bottom half of an armor is running, and it's got like a German soldier sitting in it, and he's like waving his arms and legs like he's trapped, like his butt is kind of inside the lower half where the legs are running across. And then, you know, there's some with spears that are holding them up in the air, the Germans up in the air, and they can't hit them. And it's, you know, it's goofy stuff. But this was a lot of fun, this movie. So I'm still trying to figure out how they ended up down in the cartoon world, which is something that Disney was really good at, was combining the you know, doing a green screen with the cartoon in the background and the people, like they did with Mary Poppins and a couple others along those lines. But yeah, this is at one of the, like if we were going to do the top three, this one falls into my top three.
Oh, so, sweet.
Very good one. Rose, do you have anything on this one?
Honestly, I've never watched it in its entirety.
Oh, really? Okay.
My kids wouldn't watch it. So we never really got to see it, and then I never went back to revisit it.
Yeah, my brother loved this movie.
All right, so going on to 1972, we had the Biscuit Eater. Now You See Him, Now You Don't. Napoleon and Samantha. Run, Cougar, Run. And Snowball Express. None of those movies mean anything to me. I've got nothing.
They've got another one. I'm on a list that you have, but I'm looking at the one for IMDb, and they've added Shandar, the Black Leopard of Ceylon. I don't know if anybody saw that one or not.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at Wikipedia list. So
yeah, I got the same. I got the Wikipedia list up also.
But that doesn't really sound familiar to me at all.
Okay, so can I jump in here?
Of course.
Yes.
Snowball Express. This was a fun movie. I remember watching this in probably sixth grade, roughly. Every once in a while they would have, instead of, or they would have an after school thing where you could go into the main auditorium, the recreational auditorium or whatever, and everybody just kind of sat on the floor. There was a few chairs and tables around. But they would have movies every once in a while. And this is one of those movies that they showed at one of those events. And I'm pretty sure it was around fifth or sixth grade. And this was a good one. I like this one a lot. Didn't fall into like my top three or anything, but I definitely have strong memories about it. And it's Disney had this weird thing about inheritances. Like their plot line was about somebody inheriting something, either property or, you know, an estate or something. So there was, I think this was Inherited. So let me see one second here. I can't see if the, I don't know if this one's inherited.
Yeah, he inherited a series of Rocky Mountains, puts his trip to New York.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Thank you. So I was right about that. But this one is with Dean Jones, who was in quite a few Disney movies back in the day. And so anyway, it's a fun movie. Harry Morgan's in that one too.
Yeah, I just looking at the name though, it almost sounds like something that should be a pornography thing.
With a lot of cocaine?
Snowball Express just sounds like something that, you know, it sounds dirty to me. I don't know.
It's funny.
Wow.
I don't even want to think about what that actually means. Yeah, let's Snowball Express tonight. No, I just, yeah. Bounce, bounce, bounce. But anyway, I digress. So Rose, you didn't have anything on any of those?
Well, I don't really have anything on Snowball Express.
Okay.
But I do have a couple of mentions for Napoleon and Samantha.
Okay.
I really like that one. That was like one of the first like kid adventures that I saw that these two kids, Johnny Whitaker and Jodie Foster.
Another big name in the Disney era.
Yeah. Steal this lion to take to its former trainer. And because the circus was shutting down. And they couldn't let it go, so they just decided they were going on this venture to take it to Will Gear played the old guy that they were going to see over the mountains. And all I kept thinking was, oh my God, here's two little kids traveling through the mountains with a wild lion. What the hell? What is wrong with you, Disney? What's the purpose of this? I mean, I get it. Why couldn't it have been a dog? Or a goat or something, but no, it had to be a lion. But it was super cute. I mean, I don't know the lion that they used, you know, if they trained it, if he was tranquilized, what the hell. He was big, though, at some point. I think Jodie Foster was riding him for a while, but it was just really unfathomable to me. But it was cool all at the same time, you know, it's just like trying to throw logic out the window and just enjoy it for what it was.
Yeah, I vaguely remember this one. I mean, there's a little hint of it, something in the back of my memory somewhere that I saw it at one point.
Yeah, and I think I might have seen Now You See Him, Now You Don't.
Yeah, but that's another just Kurt Russell.
Joint. That was a little bit.
Yeah, Johnny Whitaker was like in so many things back then. You can throw a stone without a kid's TV show or movie that he was in.
Well, he was in A Family Affair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joey.
Sigma and the Sea Monsters.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes.
Then other like Disney movies that we're going to get to. I mean, he must have had a great agent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great kid.
All right, so we're on 73 then.
Mm-hmm.
So what was released that year was The World's Greatest Athlete, Charlie and the Angel, One Little Indian, Robin Hood, and Super Dad. Scott, you got anything on any of those?
Not in any great detail, but I know The World's Greatest Athlete was also, I believe that was Kurt Russell also.
No.
I'm sorry. It's Tim Jen Conway. Michael. Tim Conway was in it.
Yeah, John Amos from Good Times, Tim Conway, Jan Michael Vincent, and Roscoe Lee Brown. Jan
Michael Vincent. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. That's not the one that I was thinking of then.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking of The Strongest Man in the World, which we'll get to in a couple years here. Sorry. I'm sick.
It's okay.
Okay. Robin Hood, I remember that was a popular one. I don't recall ever like getting into it and seeing it.
Yeah, that was the cartoon version.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My oldest son liked that one and rented it quite a bit. And I was just never, I don't know, who was the guy that there was so much, it didn't need to be. There was singing. There was so much singing. And I just, you know, I don't mind musicals when they're supposed to be singing, but this was like too much singing. This was Robin Hood, for crying out loud. You don't need to be singing. It just really got on my nerves.
Oh, come on. You never seen Robin Hood, Men in Tights?
Are you kidding? Yes, I have. That's different.
That's lots different. Of singing
there was
that
supposed
one.
To be singing. Yes, there was. I loved it. I don't want to get distracted, though. But who is the guy? Roger Miller and Alan Adale, the rooster. And every so often, like now, this little clip of a song pops into my head. Robin Hood, little down, run through the forest. I was just like, shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Don't care. I'm going to go find something. I'm going to wash the dishes. It's like, can't do it. But yeah, I think it's actually, I think he probably owns it now, but yeah, it's like one of his favorites.
Yeah, and it's funny that when you were, Scott, when you were talking earlier about Bedknobs and Broomsticks, you were talking about like a king that had a medallion. In my mind's eye, I was picturing the Sheriff of Nottingham in this movie, in that movie. So I was transplanting.
I think it was, actually. I think they used a lion also. Didn't they?
Well, in this one, the Sheriff of Nottingham was like a wolf.
Oh, okay.
But he like wore a crown a lot. If I'm remembering right.
I don't think you are.
I'm not?
I'm trying. No, let me see. Let's see. Because I know in some of the pictures, I see a lion with a crown on.
Oh, there's a
lion. Now I don't know if that's King Richard or if it's King Richard the Lionheart. That would make sense. But, King Richard.
So that was the, okay, you're right. Yeah, King Richard and then the snake.
Sir Hiss.
Yeah.
And then the fox was Robin Hood and the vixen was Monica Evans and bear was Little John. And a badger was Friar Tuck, and a chicken was... Sheriff Nottingham was a wolf, you're right. But I don't think
he didn't have a crown, no. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That does make sense. Why would a sheriff be... Well, you know, he was looking for the power, so... and I'm almost sure that he didn't, you know, promise to, like, remove Robin Hood's heart with a spoon. You guys remember that one?
Yeah. That was the one with him and Morgan Freeman, right? Or Kevin Costner.
And Kevin Morgan Costner, Freeman. Yep.
That's a good one. And, what was the guy's name? He played the bad guy.
Oh, you mean what's his face from Die Hard?
Die Hard, yes.
Oh my gosh. Alan Rickman?
Yes, Rickman.
Alan Rickman?
Yeah. We're going to use that over and over again. What's his face?
That guy that does stuff.
Homeboy from
Die Hard.
You know, homeboy it's just like Hard. It's like homegirl from Forrest Gump.
There you go. Thank you. Makes perfect sense to me.
So anyway, wow, tangent.
Yeah, good mm-hmm. stuff. All right, so and Robin Hood was one I thought that we would have a lot to talk about on 73. So moving on to 74. We have Herbie Rides Again, mm-hmm. The Bears and I, mm-hmm. The Castaway Cowboy, and mm-hmm. The Island at the Top of the World.
Mm.
So Herbie Rides Again. You know, any of those, I mean, they just pimped out Herbie all over left, right, and center. You know, and that was always fun to watch. I don't even remember what hijinks was involved. I just know it was a lovable car. And, you know, much like, you know, Kit from Knight Rider, he comes in and saves the day. The lovable Herbie. I don't remember the details for this specific movie. I just remember loving those movies. And just having a good time with it. So out of those, that lot, that's the one that I gravitated towards.
Yeah. Herbie Rides Again. I like you said, they had a few of them out. I don't remember what they did in each one. The original one came out like in 66 or 68. I think 68 maybe. I gotta send a text to my cousin Chris, who was just here. I could swear his grandpa at one point had a replica of Herbie with the 53 and the stripes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to send him a quick text and confirm that that's an accurate memory. I might just be making it all up, you know. The other one that I want to real quickly is The Island at the Top of the World.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the name sounded just slightly familiar when I was reading the list. And then I watched the trailer for it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have not seen this referenced in so long. Probably when I was, you know, like in fifth or sixth grade. I think a lot of these came around like in my life right around that time. Just because VHS was starting to get like in 78, you know, 78, 79, VHS was really taking off at the time. So, and my dad was he was very interested in the whole VHS movement. So, I believe that one we watched at one point at that time. And I remember I liked it. I remember we liked it because it's, you know, it's just a fun adventure. And it's a mysterious island that's at the top of the world that's surrounded by fog. And it's like this Nordic community that lives there. And there's an archaeologist that ends up having to stay behind as like a ransom. Otherwise the other people, it was interesting to watch some of the, little outtakes or not outtakes, but little clips of the movie earlier today when I was checking it out. So it sounded familiar, so I wanted to look it up. So anyway, that's all I got.
How about you, Rose? Cool. Anything on the 74 movies?
I probably watched Herbie Rides Again later on. Probably about 10 years out, I watched the Herbie movies. And I thought they were kind of cool. I like what they did with, I'm assuming a lot of the antics that they had the car to do was motorized or remote controlled or something like that. But just the fact that the car had a personality was kind of cool. I actually remember seeing The Bears and I with Patrick Wayne and Michael and Sarah, and it was really good. I didn't think it was going to be any good, but it ended up being really interesting. And I'm not really a bear. I guess not like my favorite animal or anything, but they did a really good job, and they were doing a lot of things with bears in the 70s. 60s and 70s were really kind of pimping the bears. Castaway Cowboy, James Garner. Sounds familiar. Maybe I saw it, not really remembering. But
what was that TV show that had a bear? In the mountains.
The bear?
No, that was in the mountains.
Grizzly Adams?
Grizzly Adams, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, that one. Not Ben. Not Gentle Ben.
No.
Gentle Ben was another one, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I believe was Clint Howard also.
It was Clint Howard, yep. Ben! Anyway, and I never saw Island Top of the World, but it looks really interesting. So
it was
I might
pretty
have
cool.
Check it out.
All right, so going into the midpoint of the decade, and I think this is where we're going to have a lot more to talk about as far as movies that we've seen. So 1975, The Strongest Man in the World, Escape to Witch Mountain, The Apple Dumpling Gang, One of Our Dinosaurs is Missing, The Best of Walt Disney's True Life Adventures, and Ride a Wild Pony. Scott, where are you at with those?
Oh, wow. Okay, so Strongest Man in the World was another... that was the Kurt Russell one I was referring to. And then... I don't have a lot to say about it, but... and then we move on to Escape to Witch Mountain. Was a huge movie for us as kids. I remember that one being a lot of fun. Eddie Albert, Kim Richards, and... oh, what's the boy's name? Hold on.
Yeah, they don't mention him. Weird.
Ike Eisenman.
Thank you. He was in quite a few of those movies back in the day, too.
Yeah, he was.
It's funny how they gravitated towards certain cast members throughout the 60s and 70s. You know, Dean Jones did a lot of them. Tim Conway did a bunch of them. Don Knotts did a bunch of them. Jodie Foster.
Eddie Albert.
Eddie Albert did quite a few.
Yeah.
So anyway, this movie, though, it was pretty cool, you know. It was kind of a mystery and the supernatural. It's like they could control things with their mind. I don't know why they called it Witch Mountain. They didn't cast spells or anything. They were like telekinetic kids. They were kind of like, this is kind of like the beginning of like X-Men and stuff that people could control and move things around with their minds. And they were supposed to be brother and sister or twins or something. And Eddie Albert had to rescue them and get them to this Witch Mountain so they could be, I think they're aliens, actually.
I think you're right. I think that's where it,
spoiler.
That's where we ended up finding out about those. But that was Tia and Tony.
Yes.
And I remember Tia was able to control people's thoughts or, you know, influence, their thoughts and be able to talk to animals mentally. And Tony was able to control objects.
Right.
And,
okay.
You know, able to, like, you know, lift both of them up and, you know, there was I actually watched a scene from it earlier today, and what they were doing is they were trying to get through a gate, and Tia had talked to a horse to have him come help them, and then they used their cat that they had with them to go help them with somebody that was holding a lever back, and then Tony was able to levitate both of them onto this big horse so they can go through the gate, just a really fun, you know, 70s kid thing. And it was just like, I'd love to be able to do all those powers. And I wish I remembered all of the details of this because I wanted to rewatch. When we started to talk about this topic, this is the movie that I wanted to rewatch. But all I could find was it on demand for like $3. And I couldn't pull the trigger.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of these movies that I would kind of like to get on demand or pull, you know, and pay a few bucks to watch them because they really do have a lot of deep memories for This mm-hmm. one might spend a couple bucks and rewatch.
Or try and at least find it in a thrift store or something.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah. These are hard to find. A lot of the Disney ones.
Yeah.
So, Apple Dumpling Gang, you got anything on that one, Scott?
As a matter of fact, I do.
I had a feeling, because I thought we brought that one up before.
Yeah, this is another one of those movies that they would show at in our... oh, it's called the MP Room. Multi-purpose room. That's what it was. This building. I think it was where they had lunch and stuff, too. It was like the cafeteria slash entertainment room or something. So this is another one of those that we watched that during that. And then I remember watching it on video quite a few times. It was good for my brother and sister. They were a little bit younger. So, and this is was it Tim Conway? Yeah, Tim Conway and
Don Knotts.
Mm-hmm. And they're just a couple of bumbling burglar fools. And this is another one where there's an inheritance involved, I believe. Where these three kids inherit. Now, is that it?
Well, I remember The Incredible Hulk is in it, so...
Oh, Lou Ferrigno's in it, really?
No, Bill Bixby.
Bill Bixby.
He doesn't Hulk out in this movie, though.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's three orphan children strike gold in the 70s California. Okay. Yeah.
Or did they inherit in a mine?
Oh, they might have. Possibly. I remember watching it, but I just remember the antics, like you said, with Don Knotts and Tim Conway. They just played off each other so well.
Yeah, and
whenever they were in it.
They do. They had a really good chemistry going between those guys. A lot of fun. And this one was successful enough to warrant a sequel later on in 79. So it must have been good at the time.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably ruin this completely, but the way I remember the concept of this is that there was a woman that was kind of like their ward that helped the three orphans, and she was trying to get them to the mine or whatever it is that they had inherited, and then they come across Bill Bixby's character, who starts to, I guess, you know, in some respects, he's kind of a con man, but then he kind of, you know, is the con man with like a heart of gold or whatever. So he like turns around his ways and he starts helping them, or maybe he was good the whole way through. I don't remember. But then, you know, that and throughout the whole thing, you've got the hijinks of the Apple Dumpling Gang that is not really related to that storyline, but they're intermingled because they're in the same town.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I remember it. I could be completely way off base.
Bill Bixby played a slick gambler, it says.
Okay.
So, and then he ends up taking care of the kids somehow.
Right. And then whoever the lady is that is like in charge of them, like they become like a family.
Susan Clark.
Right.
Susan Clark. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So, there we go. We pieced it together between the three of us.
Awesome.
We don't do any research, and we could be way off base, and that could be absolutely nothing to do with what the movie's about.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rose, that's did you have any more? Did you have any more on the other two or three left in 75?
Strongest Man in the World. I don't remember seeing it. Sounds familiar. Love to Escape to Witch Mountain. One of Our Dinosaurs is Missing. I don't know if I watched that or not, but it sounds like it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, very big memory of that one.
Yeah. So. Ride a Wild Pony, I believe I saw that. I remember watching it and really liking it because of the horses. I was really into horses for a long time. And there's one that wasn't mentioned in Wikipedia, but this is kind of a shout out to Shy, I guess, and his sisters. The Boy Who Talked to Badgers. A young boy gets along better with animals. He befriends around his family's Canadian farm than the people he lives with. Not that that means, you know, that Shy talks to badgers or anything, but, you know, it's because it's in Canada. So I don't know if that was indicative to specifically Canada. Like, you know, the other, another one up there was indicative to Sweden or something. Because sometimes they have a tendency to do, like, regional things that don't meet the mainstream. So this actually looks kind of cool.
And it's called what again? The Boy Who Talks to Badgers?
The Boy Who Talks to Badgers, yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's interesting.
Never even heard of it.
Me neither. But, yeah, shout out.
All right. So we're on 1976. No deposit, no return. Treasure of Matacomb. Gus. Mm-hmm. The Shaggy DA. And Freaky Friday. Rose, why don't you start us off? Is there anything in there you want to talk about?
Oof. I like the Shaggy DA. Dean Jones was like one of my... Everybody in here I loved. I love Dean Jones. Suzanne Plachette, love her. Tim Conway, loved him. Keenan Wynn, loved him. There was nothing bad about this movie.
That's a fun
lawyer gets turned into a dog, but that's okay. Because, you know, he does a really good job as a dog. Freaky Friday with Jodie Foster, Barbara Harris, John Astin. Excellent movie. I love the remake even more with Lindsay Lohan.
Really?
Fun. Yeah, I
wow.
did.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to... No deposit, no return. Sounds familiar. Don't know if I saw it. Probably did. Don't remember. Treasure of Matacomb. No. Not ringing a bell. There's another one that they left off. The Littlest Horse Thieves. The owner of a Yorkshire coal mine decides to mechanize and increase profits. The mine's pit ponies are scheduled to be destroyed. So three children plan to steal them to keep them from being killed. And it looks like it's like a British film. So that's probably why I didn't get... in the mainstream. Did you guys ever hear of that one?
I did not, no.
Okay. Me neither.
Just all right.
Throwing it out there.
So, Scott, 76 movies.
So, the No Deposit, No Return sounds really familiar, and I'm looking at that page through Wikipedia. And the list of people in this movie is awesome also. There's so many. Don Knotts again. Darren McGavin is in that one.
Yeah.
David Niven and Kim Richards and Brad Savage. That sounds familiar. Kim Richards, yeah. I know she was in a bunch of these. I remember probably it being somewhere in our collection of movies. Don't remember it as well as some of these other ones that we're talking about. Treasure Medicom, never heard of. Gus. Okay, so Gus, I remember reading the book and doing a book report on it and watching the movie all around the same time. Fun movie. It's about a donkey.
Oh, yeah.
Donkey who can kick field goals. Actually,
I'd forgotten the name of it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. This one I remember very, very well. He would kick soccer balls, but then they brought him to America and they taught him how to kick field goals, and he ends up on the school team as the field goal kicker. And he can kick, like, you know, 80-yard field goals. Ridiculous. But, it, you know, it's a fun movie. The donkey interacts very well with the characters. You know, they got them trained pretty well. The Shaggy DA is a great, I believe it's a remake from the 50s with, oh my goodness, I'm never going to remember his name. Anyway.
I know. Oh.
It was called The Shaggy Dog. And it was black and white. I think that might have been a Disney one also that was from the 50s.
Fred McMurray.
Yes, thank you, Fred McMurray. So I think that was like a new take on that original Shaggy Dog. Mm-hmm. It was same concept. They he changes into a dog. Freaky Friday, I loved Freaky Friday. Jodie Foster was one of my favorites from that back in those days. So I like the original better than the one that it, when it came out, the other one, Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
I was very hesitant to see it just because it seemed like I didn't want to ruin the nostalgic feel that I had for some of these.
Yeah.
Some of these that I grew up with that are so part of my childhood.
Yeah.
I don't want to change the perspective. You know what I mean? Like, yes. I want to hang on to those good memories from watching these in the back in the day. So,
yeah.
So that's my list of what was in that one. How about you, Dave? Which one did you remember any of these?
Well, when you brought up what Gus was about, I'd completely forgotten the premise. I actually brought this up on IMDb, and I'm stuck now because I'm looking at this thing, and I'm reading the California Adams are in last place with no hope of moving up. But by switching the mule from their team mascot to team member, they start winning. Mm-hmm. And what I'm stuck on is the California Adams. And I keep thinking, isn't that the same school mascot for the Revenge of the Nerds?
The Adams, wow. Yeah. Might be.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, red and white. It's the same school.
Yeah, same school.
Yep. So anyway, I'm sorry. Cool. I was stuck. Sorry.
That's funny.
I it probably isn't, but it seemed funny to me. But anyway, Freaky Friday. It feels like I don't think we saw this concept before, but it's been replicated so many times since.
Yeah, very many times. You had Fred Savage and
Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold.
Right.
But in a different, it was called something else. But it's been
vice
done
versa.
Many, vice versa, yeah.
Yeah,
that was a fun one.
Yeah,
and I think there was one with Dudley Moore in it.
There was one with Dudley Moore in it.
Yeah,
and is it Kirk
Cameron?
Cameron.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron.
And, yeah, and then there was one more, 18 again, I think.
Oh yeah,
with George Burns. And maybe that was the one with Kirk Cameron. But yeah, there was quite a few of these. I think they thought, hey, here's a really good idea.
But yeah, I mean, the original concept with Jodie Foster, I mean, this movie was just fantastic.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I just really think that it, you know, this was the one that set the stage for all those other ones.
I agree.
And it was great to have seen and appreciated the original, and, you know, see that as a formula that got regurgitated, you know, because, you know, as you know, in Hollywood, people, get devoid of original concepts and then they just recirculate.
No. Say it isn't so.
So it's good to know that, you know, that we were around when this one came out and got to appreciate, you know, an original concept. And you know, with a great cast.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So, that was the only one I really wanted to talk about.
Nice.
So going on to 77.
Woohoo.
We're on Escape from the Dark, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, A Tale of Two Critters, The Rescuers, Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo, Pete's Dragon, and Candleshoe. Scott, I know you're just biting at the bit to talk about Pete's Dragon.
Oh, absolutely. that's definitely the top of the list for that year for me. I do remember A Tale of Two Critters, like, vaguely. The Rescuers was a really cool one. I love that with Ava Gabor and Newman, Bob. I mean, Newhart.
Bob Newhart. Yeah.
That was just a fun movie. If you look at it, though, a lot of these movies, some of them can be a little on the dark side. You know, you got people dying and leaving inheritances, and then you have a kidnapping, you know, with the rescuers, this orphan that gets kidnapped by this mean old lady. And then, you know, you look at some of the other Disney stuff, some of the Disney cartoons from back in the, you know, earlier on, like 101 Dalmatians is very dark and twisted. A lot of them are. But anyway, so Pete's Dragon. Absolutely love Pete's Dragon. This is definitely in my top of my, I would say it's the number one pick for me for the decade. I love this movie. I watched it over and over again with my brother. My little brother loved this movie. We had a lot of fun. I would love to go to Passamaquoddy and see the lighthouse there. If the place exists. And then they did the remake, of course, in, you know, like only 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was. And I watched like the first 20 minutes of like, no, this is no good. I can't do it. So I just stopped. I stopped watching it. And I'm gonna hang on to the memories of the original Peach Dragon. A lot of fun songs in it. Another story about an orphan, which was really kind of theme for them also. But I just loved it. Then the combination of adding the cartoon to the real life is another great aspect, and they started getting better at it too. You can tell by the graphics are getting better as they keep, as the 70s go on. So this one's very, very special to me. I would love to watch the original again. I'm sure I'd be able to.
I wasn't able to find it, at least for free. I know you can rent it though.
Yeah, you know, Disney, I think they have a team. Because I was trying to find a bunch of these on YouTube just to get some clips even. Because I knew I wouldn't be able to sit down and watch a whole movie. But even though it says, like, the whole movie, it says now available, but then it says preview. So you can watch, like, a clip of it, but then you have to you have to rent it or buy it or something. But I think Disney must have, like, a team of people just looking for those.
Oh, hell yeah. Of course they do.
Looking for them on YouTube or in the internet or other, you know, ripping sites or whatever. And they must go out there and have these pros that are just able to block it and shut them down. Because none of these were, I was able to find any of these movies.
Yeah.
So, oh wait, no, I take that back. There's one more coming up. Oh, Candleshoe. I was able to find it, but it was playing in fast, like, a faster pace, and it wouldn't take up the whole screen of the computer. Yeah. Like it was only an upper left, smaller corner, so you can't really full size it.
Yeah.
But, so it was kind of weird that it was like faster motion, you know. It's like speed it up by maybe 1.25 times.
Yeah.
But I remember Candleshoe too, and that's another one with Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
And she gets, like, it's like an inheritance or something. They find out that she's royalty or something. She's a kid living in another orphan situation. And, but she's a smart aleck, you know, street person. So, but anyway, back to Pete's Dragon. Absolutely love it. My favorite of the decade.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm with you. Pete's Dragon, for me, what stuck with me was a lot of the fun music, the songs. And what I was trying to find earlier was the one song where he's trying to describe Pete to, the lady that's running the lighthouse.
Helen Reddy.
Yeah, and I wanted to find that song because that was a song that I loved as a kid. But that was the one I couldn't find. You know, I could find like just about every other, like, you know, there's a Razzle Dazzle song where they're trying to clean the lighthouse. You know,
right? And, that's a fun. Oh man, it's so fun! I love that.
And there was another one with name the town again, Scott. Passamaquoddy.
Passamaquoddy.
Yeah, Passamaquoddy is where the doctor is trying to learn how to say that. Yeah, you know, to say the town name. Yeah, you know,
right.
Yeah, a lot of those, you know, very memorable songs, you know, but, you know, the one that I really obviously wanted to hear, you know, was that one, you know, and it was something like he has the head of a camel and something, I can't remember the details, but I loved it as a kid. And between that song and like Bare Necessities from Jungle Book. Those were like my go-to songs as in the, you know, for Disney movies.
I cannot believe how many big names are in this movie, actually. In Pete's Dragon. Unbelievable.
And I actually did bring this up probably, you know, when the new one started to come out. I was like, you know, we should probably introduce the kids to the original. And my wife was like, really? You know, because I don't think she even had seen it. And at the beginning of it, it was the those hillbilly folk that owned Pete.
Right.
You know, and they were like the Durgans or something like that.
Gogan.
The Gogans. And, you know, they're scary.
Yeah, they were. And I was a little off about the orphan thing. He's not an orphan. He's just fleeing from his hillbilly foster family.
Yes.
Which I guess he would be. And yeah, he was, I guess he was an orphan then. If it's his foster family. And they like abused, they were abusive, man.
Right.
Like made him do things and make him do all the work. And he escapes them. It's awesome.
Yeah, but like it's like their first song. That's all that I was able to get through before my wife was like, all right, well, this is kind of scary. Turn it off. And I was like, it's a 77 Disney movie. Are you serious? But, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, those guys were kind of creepy. So I'm like, damn, I didn't even make it to, you know, reintroduce this movie to my kids, you know, because, you know, I got blocked by the wife.
Wow.
she pulled the veto.
Wow.
Funny.
That, and I don't think she was really interested in watching it, so I was like, yeah, I need to get her to buy in.
Mickey, Red Buttons, Jeff Conway, Shelley Winters.
Yeah, you almost need to get, like, past the first part, you know, when they get to the town. You know, that's when it kind of gets fun.
Yeah. I remember he's trying to light the lighthouse. He can't blow the fire. He can't shoot. He can't get the fire to come out of his mouth, the dragon.
Yeah. Yeah, because some guy was lost at sea, and they needed the lighthouse to come to be lit so that he'd be able to get, you know, past all the storm that they had.
Yep.
I'm getting teared up right now just thinking about it. It's just dirt in my eye. It's real. I need a moment.
Yeah, this is a definitely a moment.
I'll be okay.
You told yourself you wouldn't do this.
Okay, okay, Rose. Rose, you go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. In 1977, I was 17 years old. Probably didn't see any of these. As they were, that meant I would have to go to the movies to watch them. So, however, later on in the 80s, probably about 10 years later, I was able to rent at least a couple of these. I've always been a huge Winnie the Pooh fan, so I probably rented that for myself.
Yeah.
Love Winnie the Pooh, but I like Winnie the Pooh in the classical A.A. Milne version from the books. I mean, I appreciate that Disney took the series under its wing and created this huge franchise out of it. It's always been a mainstay in my house. Even my grandchildren love Winnie the Pooh. Pete's Dragon, that's one of those ones with so much singing. I still haven't seen it in its entirety. I rented it for my children and they didn't like it.
Wow.
I know. Harsh.
That's okay.
Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo, probably saw that. Probably thought that was fun. Tale of Two Critters doesn't ring a bell. The Rescuers, however, was kind of cool. Well, Ava Gabor and Bob Newhart. I actually like the sequel, Rescuers Down Under. That was a hoot. It was just really, really interesting how they pulled that one off. I kind of remember Candle Shoe. Don't know if I saw it, but I remember it being kind of like like one of those things where you said, or I think she was an orphan or she inherited a mansion or
Yeah, and then something. She was a rough street kid, and she has to learn.
Yeah.
Just to learn how to be proper.
Right. And it's Jodie Foster we're talking about, so.
Yeah.
She makes it difficult for him, which is awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going on to 78. So we had only three entries for Disney in that year. Return from Witch Mountain, The Cat from Outer Space, Hot Lead and Cold Feet.
Mm-hmm.
That was it, huh?
That was it.
Yeah. I wonder what they were up to.
So, Rose, you got anything on any of those?
Cat from Outer Space, probably saw that in Kenberry and Sandy Duncan in it. UFO Strain of Powder by U.S. Girl and Powder. Yeah, I remember seeing it. I remember liking it. But it was like after the fact. It wasn't in its. Because this was the year I went into the Army. So, Return from Witch Mountain. That's an after effect thing. I really like that. So I probably ended up renting Escape to Witch Mountain so I could watch both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And because it had Bette Davis in it. Hot Lead Cold Feet. Sounds familiar. Don't remember if I saw it. So, yeah.
Dave?
Hot Lead and Cold Feet. I know I liked this movie as a kid, but I'm vaguely remembering it. I just remember there being twins where, like, there's an evil guy and a one that's more of a good guy, and they're trying to do some sort of competition looking at IMDb, it says the saga of the Old West involves twin brothers who compete for possession of a rickety cow town founded by their father, while a crooked mayor tries to put an end to the competitors so he can inherit the town himself. So I remember there's something with, Jim Dale, where he's playing the good guy and the bad guy in this movie. And I remember it being fun. I just don't remember a lot of the details of it. Don Knotts, he's in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he definitely had a good agent back then, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this one, and I remember the whole twin thing back and forth. One was, you know, the hot lead and cold feet. One was a good gunslinger, and the other one was a chicken, basically. A little more scared, couldn't carry himself with a gun. I cannot remember what Jim Dale looked like back then. Anyway. So, fun movie. What was the other one?
Return from Witch Mountain.
I cannot remember Return from Witch Mountain. I remember it being out. I just don't remember any of the details of it. Like, I'm sure I watched it. I'm sure I at least saw it once. Cat from Outer Space. Blah, 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 blah. Can't talk. The Cat from Outer Space. I remember watching this a few times, and it was a fun, you know, kind of a different movie. The UFO thing was kind of new, hitting late in the mid to late 70s, you know, with Close Encounters and stuff and Star Wars coming out. So the space type thing was starting to become very popular. So I remember it being a fun movie to watch. And who was, was the main character? Ron Shell? No, that was probably the voice. Ken Berry? Is that Ken Berry?
Mm-hmm.
He was like the lead role next to the cat, of course. And then Sandy Duncan. Roddy McDowell was in that one, too. So, yeah, that was a fun movie.
Yeah.
And then that's it for the week, for that year.
Yeah, I was reading up on Return from Witch Mountain. And what had happened was they returned to Earth. And the kid Tony, who has the ability to, suggest things in people's minds and you know, I don't know what you call that, but an evil person, Dr. Gannon, a ruthless scientist, takes him and uses his powers to try to take over the world, and then Tia has to use a gang of kids to help free Tony and save the Earth. Mm-hmm. So that was the plot of that, Return from Witch Mountain. So I vaguely remember that, where they were, you know, in cahoots with a gang of kids, working together.
Betty Davis and Christopher Lee in that one. Man, the cast that all these movies had back then were just incredible. Yeah. I don't remember this one, though. I don't remember. Like, I vaguely, after you're reading it, the description, I'm kind of remembering it, but I think I probably only saw this one once.
All right. So then that brings us to 1979. So the North Avenue Irregulars, the Apple Dumpling Gang Rides Again, Unidentified Flying Oddball, The Black Hole, and The London Connection. Scott, you got anything on any of those?
Okay, so I remember the North Avenue Regulars. That was a fun one. The Apple Dumpling Gang Rides Again, I know I probably saw it, but I can't recall it. The Unidentified Flying Oddball. Now, I had to look this one up, and then it started jarring some memories, and I do remember seeing it back in the day. And, you know, I don't know how we did it, but we watched a lot of these with my brother and sister, being that they're about 5 years younger than me, 5 and 7 years younger than me. So we had a lot of them on video, like in the late 70s, early 80s, I think. Anyway, the one that really stands out to me, though, is The Black Hole. I thought this was a fun space adventure. It's some people say it was really slow, but I thought it was kind of interesting, and it's kind of a take on another movie, kind of like the TV series Lost in Space. It's kind of a similar plot line, but I liked it. I thought it was fun. Roddy McDowell, Slim Pickens played in there. They were the robots. So, other than that, I don't have anything on the last one there.
Okay. What about you, Rose?
Connection.
Don't remember if I saw the Apple Dumpling Gang Rides Again. I might have. Black Hole. Sounds familiar. Don't think I saw it. North Avenue Irregulars. Maybe. What was the other one you mentioned? Because my list doesn't have that. It was replaced with something else.
The Black Hole or the London Connection?
Yeah, that one. The London Connection? Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have that one on my list, and it doesn't sound familiar. However, what I do have on my list, I did see. And that's the Muppet Movie.
The Muppet Movie?
Yes.
Now,
and I'm a...
Okay, go on.
I know, because Disney acquired Jim Henson Productions. The IMD listed that as one of the movies that they... But we all know that they didn't put this out in 1979. They're full of wee. But I remember seeing it later on.
Right, because technically we could talk about Star Wars in 1977 if we're going to go that route.
Oddly enough, we didn't do that, though. They did. Do we not see that on there? We didn't see that on there.
Which is funny, because they owned Star Wars, the whole world of Star Wars.
Yeah. They'll pretty much be coming close to owning the whole world here pretty soon.
But I will not disrespect the Muppet Movie. That's absolutely an awesome movie. And I know
it is. Occurs. I love it. I've seen it way, very, 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 very many times.
Just a waka, 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 waka.
Jim Henson was just a genius.
Yep.
And all the people that he worked with was just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Kermie.
Nothing like a bear and a Studebaker.
Yeah.
Moving like right to, along.
Would you like to sniff the cap?
Yeah.
Animal.
Yeah, the Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, the movies that I listed before, I don't have anything on. So I'm glad that you went into the Muppet movie because that gives me something. Love the Muppet movie. I was a big fan of the vocal stylings of Kermit. So why aren't there so many songs about rainbows? A very classic way to start, you know, just a wonderful, fun movie. And then you get to see, you know, Big Bird in there and then all the different cameos. I could totally rewatch this over and over again. That'd be a fun one to see if I could find.
Yeah, and I bet you would be able to find it too, because yeah. I have like that one, and then I have, and it's on VHS, and then I have Muppets Take Manhattan, and then there's another one because they came out with one. It wasn't every year, but it was, you know, because that's a lot of work. Having to do all that filming and you know, with the puppets and everything and standing under the set. And
having your hand shoved up the ass of a puppet. Sorry, yeah. Did I just totally ruin that?
Sure you did. Sure you did.
Thanks for that image.
I'm sorry.
Whoa. Somebody was standing there with up there, up Miss Piggy's ass? What?
Woohoo!
What the hell? What? My whole childhood is just tainted. Thank you, Scott.
No. Right in the whole zippity doo dah right there. I'm sorry.
Babar.
I'm such... Babar.
Moon River. I'm sorry, I'm crossing the streams.
You were going over to Fletch.
Mercy, Lord.
1985, by the way.
I don't have any elephant books. All right. Well, you know, not the R's right together. That's what I thought you meant. All right. So that's our Disney discussion for 1970s. So many great movies that were in there, even though, like I said, I knew there was going to be a lot of them that we hadn't seen, but a fun conversation because we were able to geek out on the ones we did. You know, it kind of jogged our memories for those that we may have seen that we had forgotten, like Gus. You know, I'm so glad that, Scott, you dug deep into that one that caused me to look up the IMDb page and go, oh, yeah, I did see that. So, but it's
there's a few clips out there, too, on YouTube.
Yeah. So, this is a great discussion. Great for the old, the memory.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's the reason why I didn't do the top three format, because I was worried that I didn't have that much to bring. To the discussion, but as we went along, then I was like, oh yeah, okay, I do remember that. And oh yeah, I remember that one. So it was fantastic. What I want to do is actually a new, like, I don't even know if we want to call it a regular segment, but just something where we do like a shout out, to people that we interact with online.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to, try to remember to do this on each one of our shows. And I think there's a lot of times we bring up like a lot of the usual suspects that we're kind of dealing with, but there are so many other great contributors that we interact with online that I want to, you know, bring focus to them so that those that haven't checked out maybe their blogs or their online presence can, you know, check them out and see what they're about. The one I wanted to bring up was a guy named Mick. He runs this thing called Retro Rambler or RetroRamblings.com. You know, for those that love checking out blogs about retro content, he is an absolutely fantastic writer, has a lot of fun content about a lot of great retro topics. And if you're on Twitter, he is on at Yesterdayville as his Twitter handle, and he's the best. So if you get a chance to check him out on Twitter, it's at Yesterdayville. His blog is RetroRamblings.com. Scott, is there anybody that you wanted to give a shout out to?
Actually, hold on, let me find him.
Or if you're not ready, then
go ahead. Rose. No, go ahead. I wasn't quite ready for it, so go ahead.
Okay, Rose, do you have anybody that you want to give a shout out to?
I had a really interesting conversation with Jenny the other day. 80s girl, 216, 867-5309. And she was trying to...
What's her number again?
Yeah, I know, right? It's forgettable. No, it's not. She was trying to get her girls to watch something. I'm like, I can't remember what the movie was. And they refused to watch something that was, what did they say? Black and white from the 1900s. I can't remember what she was trying to watch. And all I remember doing when I saw that, I couldn't stop laughing because it's finally come to that. You know, we've been in the 2000s long enough now. So when someone says something about the 1900s, it's like, yeah, that was a thing. It's like, you know, like if you say something about the 1800s, you're like, oh, that's irrelevant because I wasn't alive back then. But no, I was alive. I was born in the 1900s. But it was just kind of funny because she's slowly trying to get her girls to appreciate the retro ness of certain movies, and they weren't having any of it. I thought, man, that's pretty hardcore. And they're young, too. I don't even think they're that old. They're, like, super young. So that was kind of cool. So I just want to give her a shout-out. Say, keep at it, Jenny. You'll break them. Trust me. There'll be that one movie that you'll show them. You don't even tell them. You just show it to them, and they'll be like, oh, I love this movie. So, yeah. And she's just a wealth of information, too.
Yeah, and she's on Twitter at 80sGirl216.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've had great interactions with her on Twitter too. So, yeah, definitely a great person.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, did you find who you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I've been, interacting a little bit with this My Rock and Roll Heaven at Rock This Twit. And it's just, we've been going back and forth with a bunch of different, you know, kind of hard rock, heavy metal stuff, from the 80s mostly. And nice. It's just been a lot of fun. We had a lot of good interaction there. So that's all. My Rock and Roll Heaven. Check him out. He's got a lot of good stuff if you're into the harder rock stuff. So, you know, well, not real hard rock, but he does like Def Leppard and AC/DC and, you know, stuff like that.
And that's his Twitter handle, is My Rock and Roll Heaven?
It's at Rock This Twit. T-W-I-T. Okay. But it, you know, is... Yeah, you got two names, right? You got My Rock and Roll Heaven, but it's at Rock This Twit. So,
okay.
It says dad, rocker, novice blogger, lover of all music, especially 80s and 90s rock. So,
yeah, we wouldn't have anything to talk about with him.
Oh, come on. you know I would. I'm dying to get Reboot
Auto Reverse. Yeah.
Up and roll.
Yeah, get
next
that.
Auto Reverse.
Yeah, I know you were doing some conversations with Christopher to possibly be on our last one. So
yeah, I'm trying to get him back into the loop of things. He's been more busy lately, and he doesn't want to do Sunday nights because he has to get up early on Mondays. He has a thing that he has to drive like an hour and a half to get to on Mondays and Tuesdays, so it's tough for him to do on Sunday nights.
Yeah, makes sense.
But I might have to do a sidebar with him occasionally just to have it, you know?
Yeah.
So, get the Auto Reverse back up and running music. I would love to do one on Tom Petty, Rose.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Okay, let's do that. Let's shoot for something for that. Mm-hmm. Dave, would you be interested in something on Tom Petty?
All I know is his mainstream stuff.
That's fine. That's all you really.
If that works for you, then I could do it. If not, then somebody that might have a little more breadth of knowledge, I'm fine with that too.
Oh, maybe I'll throw it out there in the Twitter group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody's interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Also, I'm finding out there's a big love for Rush also in some of those Twitter groups too. So, that might be something I know that you've been wanting to talk about, Scott.
Oh, I'd love to talk about Rush.
Yeah.
Especially with the movie coming out, Ready Player One, this weekend.
Yeah.
Which I was hoping to go see, but I just, with Chris and Cheryl in town, they didn't leave until this morning. And then tomorrow's Easter, so it's going to be kind of tough to squeeze it all in.
Yeah.
And my wife just has no interest in it whatsoever. So I'm going to have to go see it myself. By myself.
Have to go by yourself.
All right, so this is the part of the program where we remind everybody how to get a hold of us. We have a website. It's called BonsaiRetroClub.com. That's BanzaiRetroClub.com. And on that website, there is a button that allows you to leave a voicemail. Much like at the beginning of this podcast, we would encourage our listeners to leave us a message. And, we'll listen to it and give commentary and, just geek out about it for a little bit. So please do that for us if you have something that you'd like to say. There's also links to be able to send us emails and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, all the good social media jazz that's out there. So you can get to all those links through that website. Once again, BanzaiRetroClub.com, BanzaiRetroClub. Also, one of the things that we'd like you to do is leave us a rating review on iTunes, and Rose will tell us about that.
Hey, everybody. So y'all out there with all these new fancy iPhones and Apple gadgets and talking to your wristwatches like Dick Tracy and all that stuff, while you're enjoying your Apple products, please take a moment to search for our podcast and subscribe to our podcast and review once you've listened to it. Because we've got some really good stuff. We're pretty cool, and we think we're groovy. So we think you'd like to listen to what we have to say. And, the best way to tell us that you don't is to leave us a review, because how else will we know? So thank you all for taking the time to do that, and have a wonderful something.
Yeah, I actually the last episode that we're going to be posting here, but I told everybody how to leave a review on their phones. Mm-hmm. So just real quickly, if you have your iPhone in front of you, look for the little podcast app. So it's a little purple icon with looks like a little person with two circles. Click that. You're going to go down to the bottom right. There's a search button. Type in the name of our podcast, which is BanzaiRetroClub space retro space club. Hit search. When that comes up, you're going to see our logo, which has the dog with the sunglasses. You click the logo, and then after you scroll down just a little bit, there is a way right there where you can tap to rate and leave a review. So do that in there, and that's how easy it is. Nice and quick, short and simple. You leave 5 stars, you put a quick little title and a few words of encouragement, or even if you want to say that we're jerks, I don't care. Just do something. So if you could do that for us, that'd be awesome. The other thing that's on the website is the ability to, or something called Patreon. And Scott will tell us about that.
So Patreon is a way that you can show support for the show by helping us cover some of the costs. Now, we are going to be starting a new program for subscribers that do a monthly gift. You will be able to get bonus content, some of the stuff that we don't include with the podcast, maybe some of the behind the scenes, like the before and after talk, that where you get to know us a little bit better, or some side tangents that we go on occasionally before and after the show, or we might even throw a few little clips of short clips of bonus content that we didn't talk about on the podcast, maybe afterthoughts that, you know, because sometimes we're doing these shows and after the show, I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot to bring this up. I would love to add that as part of some of that bonus content. So if you subscribe through Patreon, just by going to our website and clicking on the link to Patreon, you can start accessing some of that content once we get that up and rolling, which should be in the next few weeks here, hopefully. So please help us out. That's all.
Yeah, that's. I'm really excited to start doing something like that because what the listener may not know is there's tons of conversation that we have that gets cut off. And some of it isn't even retro-related, but it's just getting to know mm-hmm. us. And it's fun conversation. It is great conversation. But the only reason why we don't include it is because otherwise our podcast would be, you know, 2 to 2.5 hours long. And we just know that, you know, you may not want to digest something that long. And as I get into podcasts, if I'm not fluent with the co-hosts, you know, in some ways, I'm usually trying to get, I want to get to the main content as to why I'm listening to that episode. So that's the way things get edited out the way they do. But I know that there's those of you that have gotten to know us and enjoy our interactions with each other. We want to make that content available somewhere. If that's something you're interested in, then please do check out Patreon. We would appreciate it. This is also the part now where we just tell everybody to be excellent to each other. It's one of those things where this world has just gotten downright scary and mean. And we just want all of our listeners to be really cool and excellent people. And, you know, the golden rule, treat everybody like you want to be treated. So just be excellent. It's simple advice, but that's, you know, what we strive to have everybody be. So if you could do that for us, we'd appreciate it. And then also have a good whatever, because we have no idea when the hell you're listening to this thing. So, bye.
Take care, everybody.
See you later.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!